This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm here. Now, welcome to an episode that brings you inside of two different transactions. Now, one, selling a multi-shop operation to a big box company, and the other, the purchase of a legacy single-store shop operation. Two couples tell their stories. Kevin and Sarah Bickford bought the Fox River Tire and Auto Shop in St. Charles, Illinois, and Richie and Leslie Zimmerman owned and sold their three shops to a big box group. In the case of these two transactions, there was perfect timing and opportunity for both. As an industry of shop owners who are nearing their retirement zone, we bring you these academy lessons to help you strategize and formulate your succession plan. Now, it's good to see multiple angles and stories on buying and selling. Always grateful to Shopware and Shop Marketing Pros for sponsoring the academy. Now, Shopware wants you to wow your customers while keeping your distance, even while staying 6 feet apart. Shopware's innovative technology will help you move cars through safely and efficiently. A completely digital workflow allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Request a demo at getshopware.com. Hey, let's talk marketing for a moment. Have you realized that your marketing looks exactly the same as the shop down the road? Well, your shop is different, and you know that. And it deserves marketing that is as unique as your shop is. Let Shop Marketing Pros show your community just how different you are. On the web at shopmarketingpros.com. Hey, the key talking points for this episode are already done for you on the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/A199. Hey, I hope you're on my email list, a great way to keep in touch with all episodes, and you also get my blog post of the week. Now go to remarkableresults.biz/insider. And did you see this week's virtual shop tour on aftermarketweekly.com? Well, if not, go there and binge on every shop tour. Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Carm Capriotto, 12 noon East Coast time. Where would you rather be than right here, right now? The 199th straight week of the Town Hall Academy, which means, everyone, the big milestone is next Friday, the 200th, and we actually have a very, very special podcast, Town Hall Academy, next week. It's going to be all about learning from my biggest mistake. And I got a whole bunch of great people going to be on. And trust me, the aftermarket will so appreciate that. We're here talking about buying and selling a tale of two deals. And look at this. We have husbands and wives in the same frame. This is going to be, we're all supposed to be separate, but you know how technology goes. Here with us, not only do we have some deal makers in the case of Dennis McCarron, partner at Cardinal Brokers, and Joel Zaleski from Cardinal Brokers, who they help people buy and sell. We also have sellers, Richie and Leslie Zimmerman. They're former shop owners, a multi-shop store, and they're going to be sharing a microphone. So this is going to be the most interesting we've ever done. But thank you all for being here, Leslie. We want to hear about the sale of your multi-shop operation and what you guys are doing now and kind of how it all worked. And we also have Kevin and Sarah Bickford that bought Fox River Tire and Auto in St. Charles, Illinois. And that's going to be cool, jumping into our industry. And they have such great wisdom to share with you all. Here it is, Sarah and Kevin. In fact, you weren't in the automotive repair business before you made your purchase, were you?
I'd actually worked with Dennis with Firestone for 10 years prior.
Right. You were the shop manager at one of Firestone's biggest stores.
Correct.
Wow. Well, good for you. So you had the taste. Hey, listen. Oh, I got to buy a place. This is great. I'm going to have all, you know, it's just going to be easy peasy. Look at
how. That's how I tried to sell it to Sarah.
Ah, and did Sarah say, okay, Kev, I trust you? And then she realized you were lying through your teeth?
That's about how it went. Yeah.
we absolutely want to hear Sarah's opinion on this. And I think you've got great insights, especially the amount of time you spent looking.
That was very critical. We wanted to make sure that we found the right place in the town that we were in, that we knew people. We attended a big church, and we wanted to be able to serve our community.
Got it. And so you found a 50-year-old business.
Yeah, Fox River Tire and Auto started 50 years ago in just a little Kwanzaa hut. They had moved three times. We are the third owner.
Well, that's interesting. How long did the previous owner own the shop?
Previous to us owned it 20 years.
Was Sarah really instrumental in getting that yes decision out of both of you? I mean, did you needed Sarah to jointly and co-say, let's do this?
I definitely needed Sarah's buy-in. She was working a full-time job when we did this, and quite honestly, we really didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. We met with Wally, who was the previous owner, struck a deal, and Sarah was very instrumental. Sarah's a very much behind-the-scenes person, so she was very, very instrumental in actually putting the deal together. I'm the face of the company. Sarah is the rest of it, trust me.
Hey, good to have you here, Sarah. You are full-time in the business.
I am. It didn't start out that way, and that wasn't our intention, but Kevin is a wonderful manager, and he has been a very successful manager for a long time. And it was a little bit of a surprise to us how much was in the margin of not operating the business, you know, how much more there was to managing the business than the daily operation.
You're full-time now. Well, maybe, I don't know what full-time means in your neck of the woods. Is that 40 or is that 60 hours a week?
Well, you know what, Carm? We could do a whole nother session on working with your spouse because you never really like stop working. You go out to dinner and you're still talking about stuff. So it's really hard to quantify that.
All right, stop for a moment. I've done a lot of interviews with husbands and wives, and one of the coolest things I heard was a rule that when they crossed this railroad track, you know, about a mile from home, that was the signal that they stop talking business and start talking family and dinner and all that other stuff.
Gotcha. We'll have to give that a try.
No doubt it is a full-time plus job. And yeah, I want to go to the Zimmermans. You guys had three shops and you said there must be something else to do, or did you have a business that was at the pinnacle of profit and growth and you said, hey, let's do something different? Give me the battle plan here.
Kind of came out of nowhere. Business was great. Business was booming for us. We were, you know, felt like we were kind of at the top, you know, of our business, building it. And, you know, kind of an offer came out of nowhere and it was a really good offer for us. And we didn't have anything else in sight, you know, after we had sold. Since then, I have gotten my contractor's license, residential contractor's license. Leslie is opening up a fitness gym, boutique gym here in Lafayette. So moving forward, we do have some irons in the fire right now, but we did not have any of that in our sights.
Going to be flipping houses? Is that what you want to do?
So no, we're actually doing some new residential construction, new homes. So far, since we have sold a little over a year, I'm starting my sixth home. We have built five and sold five. So it's been a busy year for us so far.
Just as stressful as the business you came from?
No, not anywhere close. Not anywhere close. It does have its challenges, but the automotive business is very unique. It really is. Not as stressful though.
I'm so curious. Out of nowhere, you said, out of nowhere, we got an offer?
We did. We got a phone call from Dennis and of Monroe wanting to come in and buy some market share in Louisiana in our area. And I guess we were on their radar. It kind of went from there. The deal went from there. At first, I would have never even entertained selling, being as if we are so young and at the timing, but it made sense for us.
I get that. Now, let me ask Dennis a question. Did you know of the Zimmermans business?
I did. When I ran DSP 20 Group, they were members.
Ah, okay. So there was a connectivity there. Out of the blue wasn't necessarily totally out of the blue. I mean, because when you answered the phone, there was a friend at the other end, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And of course, you struck a deal. Leslie, when Dennis called and spoke, you know, maybe it was to Richie, What did you think right away? Says, my God, we're in this forever. I mean, what'd you think?
I was kind of flabbergasted just because we were so young. We're still in our 30s. We were in it for the long haul. So Richie's ultimate goal was to have multiple locations. And by multiple, I mean 10, 11, 12. So we had visions to grow it to a whole lot more. So when the phone call came through, we were both first immediately thought, no, it's not the right timing. But when you sit back and you analyze your business and you analyze the struggles that you have at business and you analyze everything and you look at your long-term goal. So what is your long-term goal of being a business, and can we achieve it by selling the business at this particular time? It made sense for us. We thought about it for a really long time. We had a piece about it. So as a business owner, it made sense to us looking at everything. So at first it was, it's not time. And then once you think about it, it made sense for us to do it.
Did you have to think, what do we do next? Did you have to think that through? Was that part of the decision process?
Totally part of the decision process, just because we are so young. We have, at the time we had two kids, I was pregnant with my third child. So yeah, I mean, you kind of think, what am I going to do next? My background is in human resources, so I always knew I could go back into that. But we love being business owners. We love serving people. We love having employees that we can see grow. So for us, it was like, all right, where do we put our talents and where do we put our passion at? For me, it was, I'm passionate about people. I love helping people. What do I do next? How do I help people? And it's a completely different industry that I've gone into, but it's very rewarding. For Richie, he's got background in building houses. So for him, it was, he enjoyed doing it. So now it's like, let's pick something that's a little less stressful and enjoy life, enjoy the kids, enjoy being around the family more than what we were allowed to in the automotive industry.
Leslie, you told me operate your business like tomorrow is your last day in it.
Absolutely.
What a great quote. And you guys probably didn't have a lot of debt, did you?
No, we didn't. We had purchased one of our buildings, so we were able to negotiate a very long-term lease in it. You'll always have to run your business like you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know when 2020 is going to happen. You don't know when COVID's going to happen. So you've got to make sure you have enough capital to get you through those hard times. So when we say run it like it's your last day, you have to, because you never know what's going to happen.
That's a couple of great points you brought up. Hey, Carm here. And coming up, get some practical advice on why a real estate attorney should be part of your transaction. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Shopware's shop management system allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Now, one, your customer views their outstanding balance. Number two, they are prompted to submit payment directly through their invoice. And three, Shopware's secure portal facilitates payments right there without having to open another browser or remember another password. It's really that simple. Shopware is your complete solution for contactless service. Let remote pay work for you and improve your customer experience. Get started today. Visit GetShopware.com for more information and to request a demo. Hey, Carm here. Have you heard this before? If you need something, we're just a phone call away. But then when you need something and you make that phone call, nothing. Well, if you needed something from your marketing company right now, today, could you get their help? Or now that they've got your money, has the personalized attention just faded away? Well, we've all experienced something like this. If you want that to go away, I want to introduce you to my friends over at Shop Marketing Pros. Shop Marketing Pros is a boutique marketing company. Now, what that means is they're small. It also means that they know their clients because they communicate with them regularly. If you're tired of working with a big transactional agency who treats you just like another auto repair shop, well, it's time to talk to the folks over at Shop Marketing Pros. They are a real phone call away. Find them on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. Kevin, you guys told me how important it is to have a great real estate lawyer. And since the whole land thing came up and, you know, owning property.
When we finally found Fox River Tire and Auto, and we finally realized it was a great match for the reputation that it had and the philosophy of the business for us, we were ready to go because we'd been looking for 3 years. And so we were ready to jump. And at that point, I don't feel like we did as much in due diligence as maybe we should have to protect our interests. We didn't have a real estate attorney look at the lease. We had an attorney look at it for certain, but not a real estate attorney per se. And there were some things in there that we weren't, you know, we just weren't protected as much as we might have liked when situations came up. You know, I have a friend who's in the restaurant business, very successful. And he says, you know, I'm really not in the restaurant business. I'm in the real estate business. And, you know, it was important for us to acquire the property, and we since have been able to do that. But I don't think I would purchase another auto shop without being able to purchase the property at the same time for a lot of reasons. One of the other things that we would be sure to do again is just to maximize that relationship with the local banker going into the transaction, having a really solid relationship, because they really helped us.
Over and over and over again, we hear that story. People prefer community banks, it seems.
Absolutely.
That SBA relationship, because I don't think you guys had all the money in the bank ready to do a cash transaction, right?
We didn't. And even when the building came up for sale, it was very sudden. And so we had to move very quickly. And had we not had those relationships in place, it would have been very difficult to do.
Let me ask you a question about it was very sudden. Had you not been talking to the owner since the minute you dried the ink on the contract that we want to buy this building, you've been telling?
We had, and we'd made several offers. And unbeknownst to us, he went out and sought a cash offer. And the first thing we realized was that they were coming in to show the facility. And so we had to get our ducks in a row within 30 days to counteroffer. And
did you have the first right of refusal on that?
We did.
Okay, good. Always protect yourself. So have a good real estate attorney as part of the transaction. That's eye-opening for sure. You have a great story about the improvements / change that you had to make in your business and getting the team to come on board.
Yeah, that, you know, we had a lot of tenured staff, 45 years, 20, 25 people that had been there, been invested in the business for a long time, really were the face of the business. We came in really gung-ho. We had things that we knew we wanted to do, improvements that we knew we wanted to make, a complete remodel. I mean, the business had a great reputation, but it hadn't been, the building and the environment hadn't been maintained very well. So there was a lot of work to be done. And, you know, we came in and we were just literally had a huge dumpster in the back, and we were just throwing things away.
But the beauty of it is the vision that you had, Kevin, coming from the Firestone world, you knew what the kind of environment people needed to work in. You knew the kind of environment that customers needed to see and have. And so you guys were, did you just like put a little mini bomb in there and blow it up?
No, it was a big bomb. It was a really big bomb. Yeah. You know, but if you can appreciate this, I remember the first week bringing in a new trash can because the trash can that was there was old and it was just pitiful. And I walk in from the back and I have three front shop people staring at the trash can, standing around staring at it, wondering where it came from. I mean, just the littlest change was so hard for them. So bringing in the kind of change that we did to policy and procedure and, you know, let alone remodeling from top to bottom, it was a challenge. And I think where we really fell short in that was we didn't get buy-in from them. We just came in and we were like, hey, we're here and, you know, we're here for you and we're here to do good things. But we certainly learned from that experience that getting some buy-in is a valuable thing.
By the way, I have to tell you, I'm so excited about where this dialogue is going because I know for a fact the industry needs to hear your stories. And thank you so much for being here. Richie and Leslie, you guys told me sell your business when it's at its healthiest, which is so cool, and how that opportunity came for you. So you guys must have been rock stars up there being so successful. So it wasn't hard to, oh my God, I have an opportunity and we haven't been paying attention to our business. And so I think the story is phenomenal. Don't just keep coasting along. Do the damn best that you possibly can, because something, you know, somebody may be hovering over this thing and one day you're going to get an offer. Can you give us some advice to the industry about how you guys got to be at the pinnacle, even though you weren't even thinking of selling?
We attribute a lot of it to DSP 20 Group. We aligned ourselves with the best in the industry from what we could find. We knew that we could make small tweaks in our business and it would make a huge impact on the bottom line. So in a business, you just want to continually see it grow, see it profitable. So that's what we set on. Once we got our third store, it was, all right, let's pin down and try to make the most profit as possible and make sure that that shop runs the way it should. So it is attractive because, yeah, someone's going to look at your sales, but they're going to look at how your operation runs too. So at that point, we were able to pinpoint and make sure that our payroll figures were where they needed to be, that we were buying product at the price that we should to make it profitable. At that point, once we got everything running like a well-oiled machine, we were able to dial in piece by piece and bit by bit and just make small tweaks to make it the best business that we could. Now, there was always things that we could change and make different, but it's always about education, making yourself better and learning a little bit more every day. No one ever knows everything. So it's all about education and aligning yourself with the right people. And we felt like we had the right people on our team to get us to that successful point.
Great story. I don't know if enough of us in our industry are listening to that kind of advice. The disciplines that you guys have or you have to have in growing a great business. And I want to bring Joel in here. Joel, you know, do you see a lot of opportunities out there in deals that you do as a buyer-seller type person that could have been so much better had they been a better business person or paid attention?
We have these conversations daily with shop owners, you know, single shop owners, shop owners like the Zimmermans, where when we get into the valuation time, you know, really when we're talking to the sellers and buyers about, you know, what a reasonable price is for their business, it puts a lot more pressure on the valuation when we're trying to come up with what the true profitability of the business is. And so businesses such as Richie and Leslie's, you know, there weren't a lot of massaging of the numbers that we had to do to get them to a valuation that they were comfortable with. And that certainly helps a lot in those conversations with buyers and settling on a number that everybody's comfortable with.
Talk to me about this buy-up market share thing that the Zimmermans mentioned. Is that going on a lot more today than we really know?
It is. It is. And, you know, certainly earlier in this year with COVID, you know, that certainly took a hiatus. But, you know, buyers are coming back around now, you know, as I think there's a bit of an end, you know, end in sight with the current situation we're in. But yeah, I mean, the strategic buyers, when they go into certain markets, and we'll use Louisiana as a good example, Monroe bought the Allied stores in Louisiana maybe about a year prior to. And so, you know, they had the beachfront there. But for them, you know, to leverage their synergies, they want to have much more market share there. And so what we were able to do is go into that market and pull together multiple shop owners. And we put a package of stores together, eight total stores, including the three stores that Richie and Leslie had.
Okay, so multiple owners. I see.
Yeah, we pulled together multiple owners and presented them in a package to the buyers. And that's how ultimately we sold this.
Let me ask you a question. You're talking about a package of eight stores. Would there be any single stores in that package?
There are. There are sometimes there are single stores, sometimes there are two stores, sometimes there's three stores or four. And that's just how we put it together. I mean, we put a package of eight stores together, and we've had a lot of success in doing that, especially in markets where these buyers want to be. In this particular package, there were two single shop owners, and then there were the three stores as Zimmermans had, and then another seller that had three stores as well.
Interesting. And I think everybody should take heed with that great advice that Joel has just given us. You don't necessarily have to continue to grow to be a multi-shop operator if the marketplace, first of all, you need to be running a great store. I can't even imagine the synergies of taking, you know, seven great stores and one not so good, but the location was great and the investment that has to be made to turn that store around. Well, you're not going to get paid a lot of money if they have to invest a lot. So I want to make a comment about the E-Myth. One of the things about the E-Myth is, you know, to work, of course, on your business, not in it. But one of the principles of Michael Gerber was every decision that you make every day should have a result of you selling your business. Always make good decisions so that when you sell, you also said to me, run your business like you're going through an audit, financial audit, operation audit, store cleanliness audit, and everything. And to me, that's the every decision you make is a potential sale. When you think about how you grew your business with those principles and how you got an opportunity to get out, you guys had to be the happiest guys in the world knowing that your values, the plans in your business put you in this particular position.
Definitely. When we were in the DSP20 group, that helped us a lot with a lot of those principles that we put in play, you know, running your business, keeping it in tip-top shape, keeping brand new trash cans around, making sure that you're running it like you are going through an audit. It definitely helped. All that hard work definitely paid off a lot sooner than later. Biggest advice I can give is always expect the unexpected, whether it's going to be good or bad, but just be ready, be prepared. Don't wait and say, hey, I'll do this next year and I can get ready for that. No, do it now. Seize the moment, seize the day, do it right now.
Richie and Leslie ran the business like owners. And what we see in the industry is a lot of people buy themselves a job. Hmm. And I don't want to speak for Kevin, but he might have gotten in that way because he was a manager at a big box store. Hmm. And you think, well, I want to be my own boss. So you buy yourself a job. And then to Sarah's point, you know, in a very short period of time, you realize you're not in the automotive world. You're a small business owner.
Right.
The successful owners that we see that sell for large multipliers, they run the business. They didn't buy themselves a job, or they learned to get out of that habit.
To the point that the Zimmermans were making, I mean, the 20 group experience for us, we work with advanced shop leadership and, you know, and DSP as well previously, but it's a phenomenal experience. And that for us really took us from being managers to being owners and helped us understand, you know, what our margins needed to be and our price points and everything on the back end, in addition to everything on the front end. It was probably the most important thing that we've done since buying the business.
Glad to hear the networking piece. Glad to hear the 20 group piece, the networking group.
I think it's
group.
Really about learning from people that are smarter than you, right? And that have done it and that know, and then just realizing you don't have to have all the answers.
You're right. You never want to be the smartest kid in the room. Never, ever, ever, ever. And that sometimes you have to massage your ego. You have to put it on the shelf and you have to learn to say, wait a minute, I don't understand. Say that again. Explain that to me. It took me a bunch of years to realize that I could say I don't know.
It was very educational for us to realize and to sort of get permission to hire people to do things because we felt like we needed to do everything and save money on marketing and save money on, you know, on everything that we could do adequately well.
You had to get permission from peers to say, that's okay.
To spend money on things that we felt we could save money on and do ourselves and to do fairly well. So yeah, and realize that it could be done so much better and so much more professionally and to have that think tank. You know, that was a huge part of our learning curve as new owners was to understand what we should try and do and what we should not attempt.
The Zimmermans were actually, you know, just laughing so hard because apparently you guys are in such different situations, but been there, done that kind of smiles and chime in a little later, guys. But I want to talk about the value set and hiring good people. Sarah, Kevin, if you could walk us through a couple of those early challenges.
You know, inheriting staff is always a challenge because you're never sure exactly what you're getting in terms of work ethic and character and performance. But as I said, they were the face of the business. And so we worked very hard to try and, you know, integrate them and make them a part of the culture that we wanted to have. And with some, it worked better than others. But we have what we would consider to be the best team in the business right now.
Of course you do.
Right. And we worked very hard to find those people and to retain them and to appreciate them and to keep them moving forward and be challenged and be trained. So, you know, other than owning the business and joining the 20-year group, that staff component is, it's the reason we can walk away from the business and have a vacation.
How long have you owned the business?
6 years.
Six? Oh, God, you should have been on 10 vacations by now.
But it's also the reason why we can hope to acquire another location someday, because you have to have a crew of people that can, you know, drive your culture and one location running the way that you want it to and that you can entrust to do that.
6 years in the business, for our people that are going to listen to this, how intense was any turnover that happened in staff?
At first, it felt like it was everything, you know, losing a person. But I think we've learned through the last 6 years that it's just part of the process, you know, and it's a pruning process, and it helps you really refine what's most important in the people that you're looking for. And that's a little vague, and but it's been really hard labor and really trying at times, but really worthwhile.
Did you hear that? Hard labor, trying at times, but it's worth it at the end of the day. And so I was just kind of jesting about the vacations, 6 years in the business. When did you, based on all the work that you did, when was there a little bit of relief where you had the freedom to just leave?
It was a couple years in, yeah.
Zimmerman's, regret anything? Want to be back in the service business?
I know for myself, and I'm pretty sure Leslie, we definitely miss it. I'm a third generation in automotive, and to say no, I don't miss it, I would be lying. I definitely miss it. I do miss some of the struggles and the challenges that the automotive business does bring. It's been bittersweet, you know, moving on to a different industry, two different industries. And, you know, so it's got its own sets of challenges. And at the end of the day, I do miss it. There's definitely something special about the automotive industry that just will always burn deep inside of me. And I miss it. Sure.
I have just had an incredible time here. I want to go around the room. A lot of great wisdom here. And I would love for you, as we have talked about this tale of two deals, one in their, the Zimmerman's in their 30s had a chance to get out, and now they've moved on to some other businesses. But boy, a three store chain. So you still have automotive in your blood, no doubt. And, you know, you probably can give some great advice. And of course, the Bickfords, 6 years into a business that they bought because the Bickfords knew that it was going to be an easy peasy thing to go buy a business. Any final words that, you know, I know you want, you sent me all kinds of great things to talk about. What's something that maybe we missed?
You know, if we were giving ourselves advice 10 years ago, we'd advise to be patient with your own learning curve for sure. Invest time in finding and retaining great staff. Find people in the industry that you can partner with and learn from, knowing that you don't know it all. Figure out what you can do and accept that there's going to be things that you need to hire good people to help you with. And perhaps most importantly, understand margins and know what it takes to be profitable.
There's the golden rule right there. Know your numbers, know your margins. You know, do you guys set goals, have budgets?
Absolutely. Thanks to DSP.
Sarah, any final words from you?
You know, we've talked a lot about the struggles, but the rewards have been really significant as well. You know, we had the opportunity to care for my father-in-law in the final 6 months of his life and to bring him here to live with us. I haven't had to attend a wedding alone in 6 years because Kevin had to work every Saturday. You know, we didn't miss important games. And so the rewards are significant, and it's, you know, that hindsight is always so clear, and we certainly would have done things better and differently, but the rewards have been, it's made it all worthwhile.
I love it. We haven't missed a wedding.
I went to every wedding alone for 20 years. So for me, that's, you know, that's pretty significant.
Saturdays.
You're tearing at my heart. I can sure relate to everything that you said, and so could so many other people in the audience. Wow. Zimmerman's, come on board, and any final words for our world here? I guess we'll start with you, Leslie.
So the biggest advice that I can give is align yourself with the right people and then educate yourself. There's always something new to learn. No matter what it is, you don't know everything. So I'd say align yourself with everyone. The other thing that I can say, and I can say this across multiple industries now that we're in something different, take care of your people. You are in the people business no matter what you do. You're in the people business in automotive. In the fitness industry, you are in the people business. Build those relationships, align yourself, and network with the best people that you can. can and treat your employees great. Because without our employees at T-Boys Tire, there is no way we could change every tire. We could change oil in every vehicle. There's no possible way. So you have to align yourself with great, like-minded people and treat them good. Build those relationships, whether it's employees or your customers, because they do drive profitability into your business.
Amen.
Wow, you got an amen. Very good. Put Richie on. Let's get a final comment from him.
You know, expect the unexpected. If you're in the business, stay green and growing.
I love that. Wait a minute. Stay green and growing. Wow, does that mean you have to hydrate?
Definitely. But no, stay green and growing. The minute that you feel like you're not green and growing anymore, you're ready and ripe. It's time. But make sure that you are at the healthiest, that business is at the healthiest it can be, so that when you are ready and ripe to be picked, you'll reap the benefit of all that hard work and everything that you've gone through.
Green and growing so that you can be ready and ripe. I don't know, guys. There's the other soundbite. I mean, I got like 10 critical soundbites from this episode. And be ready and ripe and not rotten. Because if you're rotten, Dennis or Joel can't come up here and help buy or sell your business. Right, Dennis?
Yeah. My quick piece of advice to everybody out there, if you're looking to sell, it's a good time. The market's coming back for it. But the advice is use the professionals, your tax attorney. You got to have a conversation with them. You know, try and use a broker when you can. Of course, we'd like you to use us, but use a broker. You know, talk to the people that do that part of the business for a living. It's worth every penny. Trust me.
Thank you, man. CardinalBrokers.com. Is that the address?
Yep.
CardinalBrokers.com. Joel, by the way, Dennis, thank you so much for bringing the Bickfords and the Zimmermans together for this. Again, anyone has an idea, Dennis said, hey, I've got a great idea for a show and some great people that could be on. And so I appreciate, Dennis, our friendship and for, you know, bringing this Town Hall Academy to us. Joel, I'll give you the last word, man.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll just simply reiterate what Richie and Kevin both mentioned. You know, certainly first and foremost, know your numbers, know where your profitability is on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And so, you know, when it is your time to get picked and, you know, you're ready to go, you know, don't kick the can down the road, address issues, no matter how small, when they come up, so they don't become big issues later on. And, you know, again, know your numbers and just be prepared. Be ready to go, because at some point, you know, you're going to want to exit the business likely at some point in your career, or at least entertain it. And so you want to make sure your business is prepared to do that.
If I wasn't doing well and I listened to this and I'm saying, God, I got to do some turning around here. Because I really do want, I'm 57 years old and I've got a business that could be valuable to someone someday. Is it too late to start to invest 2 or 3 years of doing a lot of things better than I'm doing so that my EBITDA comes up so that I can get a decent multiple at the end of the day?
If you put your ego aside and listen to the experts, either join a 20 group or get a good consultant, make sure it's a good one. but it's going to take 2 to 3 years for you to offset the damage that you did prior. So you better be in for the long haul and make those changes. Many times it's the owner that's in the way of the business doing well.
Thank you so much for being here. A Tale of Two Deals, Town Hall Academy 199, Sarah and Kevin Bickford, Fox River Tire and Auto in St. Charles, Illinois. Richie and Leslie Zimmerman, former shop owner, multi-shop owners, now in house construction and in physical fitness, right? Leslie, that's what you're doing. And of course, Dennis McCarron and Joel Zaleski, partners in Cardinal Brokers. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.